It's Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
One of the favorite programs concerning Exploring the Word, for as the hosts are concerned, is Fire Away Friday. We enjoy hearing from you. This is Bert Harper, and along with Dr. Alex McFarland and Jim Stanley. And it's good for us to be together. We enjoy doing that, and because you never know for sure what three of the ones we get because of traveling and all the things going on. But today, we're going to have a fourth person on at the beginning, right. Jim and Alex. And I believe he's on right now, so we don't want to waste any time. And it's Steve Tiber from 8 Days of Hope. Mm. Welcome, Steve.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How's everything going?
Man, it's hot down here. How is it in Buffalo? I just got to ask.
Well, it's not as hot as Tupelo, Mississippi. But, you know, as you know, I travel a little bit. So I have a feeling in the next couple of days I'll be feeling the same humidity that you're enjoying today.
Well, I got to ask one question. Do you miss Mississippi in July and August?
Well, I miss Mississippi 12 months a year.
Oh, okay.
Because our headquarters is outside of Tupelo, I come back quite often. So
yeah.
I kind of feel like I have two homes, Brother Bert.
Amen.
Well, Steve, let's chat just a minute. And Alex, I know that you'll want to jump in as well. But now you guys are still doing some ministry in Arkansas. You've got a huge project coming up in Buffalo. Here at the end of next week, I believe. But now this weekend, because of the way that Tropical Storm Barry and what they presume will be Hurricane Barry as it makes landfall this weekend, you guys are gearing up to do some help in Louisiana too, aren't you?
You know, it's been wide open, but, you know, for the last 14 years, whenever God opens a door, Jim, we try to follow his lead. And you're right, we've been in Fort Smith, Arkansas, for multiple weeks with flooding. Just are leaving Pine Bluff, Arkansas, as we speak. We've got a major outreach up in the Northeast, and yet God is calling us to come to Louisiana. And so, you know, this afternoon we're announcing, you know, we're going to respond. We have multiple pieces of equipment. Many of our leaders are going to reroute and head down to Louisiana. We don't know exactly where we're going to land. We're looking at anywhere between New Orleans and all the way to Lake Charles. As you know, the storm has moved a little bit further west than it was earlier today. Some of these cities that we're looking at serving, I'm looking at Lafayette, Baton Rouge, they're expecting rainfalls of 15, 20 inches of rain.
Yeah.
And that flooding will be epic.
I was just talking, in fact, my daughter lives in Lafayette, and I was just talking to her a few moments ago, and she was talking about yesterday. She got my wife on FaceTime and took a tour of a couple of stores with her. And she said, had they not just brought in a pallet of water, then she wouldn't have been able to get that. But she, it was so funny. It was not funny, ha-ha, but funny, ironic. You know how different people have different measurements of how serious stuff is. But when she went to where the Ramen noodles were and there were no Ramen noodles, she said, it's getting serious.
Oh, boy.
It is. But, you know, this is a great opportunity for the church to respond. I love our country. There's no place like it in the world. But no government, no matter if you sit on the left or right, can wave a wand and fix these type of issues when they arrive. But, you know, we're going to have volunteers there, you know, within 24 hours of the storm moving through. And we plan to be there for weeks. And I know those details will be worked out the next 48 hours.
Hi, Steve. Alex McFarland here. It's so great to hear your voice, and I just I applaud what you do. I know people can pray and people can donate, but what are some of the ways people can be involved, personally, tangibly involved with 8 Days of Hope?
Yeah, you know, one of the main things about a rapid response arm, and that's what we're deploying as we speak, you don't have to have a skill level of a contractor or a builder or an electrician or a plumber. You know, the less skilled volunteer who doesn't, in their mind, feel like they have a lot of gifts. If you can clean debris out of a house, if you can help us dry out a house by moving equipment around, if you can handle a wheelbarrow, if you've got some gloves, man, we're going to put you to work. You need to be 18. That's important because this is going to be an active disaster site. It's free. We provide the food and lodging. You just have to get to wherever we're going to be based at. And again, we'll be there for at least 3 weeks. Could be there much longer than that, like we were with Hurricane Florence and Michael and Harvey. We'll just see where the need is, and we'll very quickly respond.
One more thing, and that is the website, because people, you know how they do that. They want to know.
I know.
And,
I know.
So yeah. I doubt if you know it, right?
we know people are following 8 Days of Hope because of their love for AFAFR. You guys have been there with us day one. You know, it meant to be a real tiny trip, and here we are, you know, 40,000 volunteers later, $50 million of work. You know, God provides every dollar we need, every volunteer he sends our way. Our website is the best place to go, 8daysofhope.com. Now, when you go there, you'll see information about Louisiana, but the volunteering hasn't opened up yet and won't to this weekend until we know exactly where we're going. But they can donate online. They can learn more about the ministry. And we're excited, again, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's what God has called us to do.
Amen.
To love and serve the brokenhearted. And thank you for your support.
Well, Steve, thanks so much for giving us a call this afternoon, brother. We sure do appreciate it. And, you know, before we let you go, let's go ahead, if you don't mind, and we'd like to cover you guys in prayer and cover the volunteers that are to come. Bert and I were on yesterday afternoon, and we spent the time talking about prayer, and then we had a prayer meeting. So, you know, we have a couple of 100,000 folks listening. And right now, we want to bring them into a spirit of agreement that the Lord's hand would be over you guys and protect y'all, give you the funds that you need, give you the supplies that you need, give you the people that you need, so that you can go and be the hands and feet of Jesus, because you guys literally are doing that. And so I'm going to ask Alex if he would take and just pray a blessing over you guys.
Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the body of Christ, that you move in and through to lift each other up and to feed the hungry and put a roof over those that are destitute. And I thank you for Steve Tiber. Lord, what a blessing this man is. The vision you've given him in 8 Days of Hope is now just recognized everywhere as such a great ministry. Lord, bless them. Provide their needs. Give them wisdom. And Lord, lead people to volunteer and be involved and give wisdom to their team. Keep them safe as they go to New Orleans and Buffalo, New York, and all the places they're going. And Lord, I do pray, Lord, that you would increase their footprint, because I know they give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. They clean up and they rebuild, and they do it in the name of the gospel. So bless my brother, and Lord, continue to touch the entire world through 8 Days of Hope. And we thank you that we have this partnership and this relationship with such a great work of the gospel, and we lift them up to you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Brother,
thank you, brother. Wow.
We'll
thank you
continue.
So much.
Yes, sir. We'll continue to be in prayer for you guys. Again, that was Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope. More information available at 8daysofhope.com, 8daysofhope.com. And if you would like to help support them, as he mentioned, the volunteer is not available yet, but you can take and you can make a donation now if you feel like that's something the Lord would have you to do. And I can tell you for a surety that money, it would almost be as though you were given to AFR or AFA because of how Steve does his...
We're joined at the hip.
And I mean, when you talk about accountability, Steve has made his books open to us and to others from day one, and he's been very faithful to do that. So we recommend them highly. Now, it's not that we don't like Samaritan's Purse. It's not like we don't like the Baptist Association. If you're going to respond, the main thing we want you to do is to make sure that you respond to a charity that is worthy of getting your support and one that will minister in Jesus' name. You got to be careful. At times like this, there are a lot of frauds. And I can tell you, Fat Man's Rescue Service is not a valid ministry for this weekend. and I say that jokingly, but it's one of those things. Do be careful. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. As we continue now with Fire Away Friday here for Exploring the Word on our Friday edition. And Alex, you know, we don't see you, so we want to make sure that we keep you in the fold here. So anytime that you have an unction from the Lord, You just speak out and we'll hush.
Oh, God bless you. I appreciate that. I feel that. And so I'll remember. And folks, we do love your calls. Let me just say this before we go to the first call, that word@afr.net, W-O-R-D, word@afr.net. You can email questions in, and very often they become the content for a future show. So thanks for letting us hear from you.
Amen. Well, let's go to the first call. And by the way, there's some lines open, and it's 888-589-8840. Lines open. Let's go to Illinois and talk to Michael. Michael, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yeah, thank you very much. I really enjoy your program. I got a question, and I'll ask it and get off the air, but I did want to make a comment. And at the end of your program every day, you say, but more importantly, tell everybody about Jesus. And I just want you to know that I do exactly that.
Amen.
And I do that not to get a pat on the back, but I rejoice every day in knowing that God chose me to be one of his son and he saved me.
Amen, Michael.
And I know when you make yourself available to open your mouth and speak to others, God just opened up the floodgates. And I would encourage anybody that's listening that there are so many hurting people out there in the world today, and a lot of times just being a nice person and saying a word of encouragement will just open up the door. So
you're right.
I wanted to share that with you.
Okay, go ahead, Michael. Thank you, and we take that serious.
My question is this: I'm studying the life of David, and I know the word says that David is a man after God's own heart. But when you examine his life, you see David had a lot of problems and a lot of sin. When I see that, and then you see yourself and say, you know, God, I'm not perfect and I want to be used by you, but yet, and then when you contrast with the life of David, I just like to get a little commentary off, if you could, please.
Okay.
All right.
I got one commentary first, and I'll go to y'all. When I see that, and he has a heart for God, it gives me hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we are sinners. I mean, beyond measure. Praise the Lord. Alex, go ahead. We're down to about a minute and a half, and you go and see what we can do with that question.
Well, you know, I think about John chapter 4 when the disciples asked Jesus about food, and Jesus said, my food or my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. And I think in trying to become a man after God's own heart like David was, you know, it says that David was a man after God's own heart. I want to say this. It begins, number one, with a relationship to the Lord, and then faith and to trust God. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And every one of us can more and more become one after the heart of God when we are saved, we're trusting, we're growing, we're sharing, we're serving. And I think we want to depopulate hell and populate heaven,
yeah.
And we know that's in the will of God.
Amen. And, you know, guys, Alex, Bert and I talked about this a little yesterday afternoon when we were talking about prayer. I think one of the biggest lessons that we can take from David and apply to our lives is being willing to say, number one, that we're wrong, that we have sinned against God, and we realize that we've sinned against God. Number two, that we repent, and then we beg for him to restore unto us Amen. The joy of his salvation. Stick around. More of your questions at 888-589-8840 as Exploring the Word Fire Away Friday continues on AFR.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment each day to pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Jennifer Sheehy, the Deputy Assistant Secretary in the Office of Disability Employment Policy. Ms. Sheehy helps develop policy that increases job opportunities for youth and adults with disabilities. Matthew 5:16 reminds us of the importance of helping others. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Jennifer Sheehy as she works on behalf of disabled Americans. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Buyer's remorse sets in when what you thought was a great buy doesn't turn out to be as great as you thought. But today, Dr. Tony Evans will tell us about a deal that just keeps getting better and better. We'll find out more as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You know, when you buy a car that has everything on it, you know, you're not adding anything because everything was included and, you know, you bought it fully loaded. And they give you this book, and this book tells you everything about your vehicle. Now, I got a vehicle out there, and I've been driving for 2 years, but I've never read the book. I'm just driving it. Takes you where I want to go, brings you back. The other day, I was looking through the book. I discovered there are things hidden in that car I never knew was on it. That really offered me more than I was experiencing, but because I didn't have discontent, because I was just satisfied to ride along to get along, I was just satisfied with going from A to Z. I never bothered to look at the book. And I discovered just through thumbing through the book that this thing offers me a lot more than what I got when I drove it off the lot. God says there's a lot more to your salvation than what you got on the day you were born again. But unless you know what the book says, it will not be your experience in the new nature. Your experience of God to a greater degree. You will not grow. You can be in church for a lifetime and not grow. Faith to get saved is what God does, but faith for God to expand in you takes also what you do.
Check out the latest edition of our half-hour daily program and sign up for Dr. Evans' free weekly email devotional when you visit tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness.
You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, Jim Stanley with Bert Harper and Dr. Alex McFarland. By the way, I want to let you folks know that if you're interested in keeping up with Alex's travels, you can do so by visiting alexmcfarland.com, alexmcfarland.com, and see when he might be in a town near you or how you can bring him to your town. Bert Harper is also available, but I think Alex still has some open dates, but you guys are booked up until 2020.
We are.
Y'all don't travel as much as Alex.
We don't do as much as Alex can. I don't know of anybody that keeps, even the Energizer Bunny,
that's right.
Does not keep
he
up
gets
with
his
Alex
batteries from Alex.
He does. And, but anyway, they can go to repairingthefoundations.net or they can go to wordatafr.net.
That's right. We'll,
and we'll get, contact.
That's
we have
right.
A, we
you
have
can get
few,
any of us.
We have a few dates left in 20. We do.
All right. Here we go. Let's go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Dean calling from Texas. Dean, good afternoon, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
How you doing, brother? Love you guys.
Well, thank you.
Okay, a couple things. I don't want to get into conspiracy things, but does the Bible talk about anything about the world either being round or flat? You see things about there's supposedly a dome around us. And a lot of people that I talk to that are Christians now that kind of, you know, are on the internet exploring so much, you know, they're kind of telling me that the devil used the round world to kind of manipulate people to say that there's more gods out there and other planets and just, you know, different things. So I wanted to know what you guys, if you had anything that could help me out here.
Okay, let me start off by, yes, the Bible does have something to say. Isaiah 40:22, Dean. It's about as plain as anything that anybody could ever read. And I'm saying that not sarcastically, but truthfully. It is he who sits above the sphere of the earth or the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. And, the Bible talks about, when it talks about the four corners, it's talking about the north, south, east, and west. You could say the four directions of the earth. Alex, go ahead and respond to Dean, would you?
Yeah, I think that's very important, that Isaiah passage, the Isaiah 40:22, that does reference the spherical nature of the earth, but also really the spherical nature of the planets. And in fact, there was the idea of the earth was the center of the solar system. And heliocentrism was this, Christian scholars like Bacon and Copernicus said, no, the sun is the center of the solar system. And I think that sometimes on the internet, and I'm not a conspiracy guy either, but sometimes people put out things like things that are just ludicrous, like the idea that the earth is flat, just to bait people, really. And honestly, I know people kind of joke about it, but I really, certainly no serious scholar believes the earth is flat. And I think some of the things on the internet might just even kind of be there as a joke because, you know, you can go out on a boat out on the ocean. I've gone deep sea fishing, and way out there on the ocean, you can see the curvature of the earth. You can. And so I think scripturally and factually, it's not hard to understand that the earth is not flat.
All right, Dean, thanks for your call this afternoon. We're going to talk to Jason now, calling from Illinois. Jason, good afternoon, and welcome to Exploring the Word. All right, Jason, do me a favor. I'm going to put you back on hold, turn your radio all the way down, and then you'll be able to talk to us directly. We're going to talk to Dusty, calling from Louisiana. Dusty, we're praying for you guys this afternoon. What part of Louisiana are you in?
Right now I'm in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
All right. Where are you headed to?
I'm headed home to a little place called Pickens.
Okay. Well, you be careful and kind of batten down the hatches. What's your question this afternoon?
Just a quick question for you guys. What do y'all think about reading scriptures that's not necessarily a part of the Bible that wasn't put into the canon by the disciples?
Alex, that's an Alex question first, and we'll comment.
I do want to clarify one
scriptures.
Thing. The scriptures by disciples, I presume you mean the letters that have been found in different things and some of those that did not meet the canon, but I agree with Bird. Alex, we're going to let you break this one down for us.
Well, God bless you. You know, Bird and I have done a couple of shows actually on canonicity, the canon of Scripture, and I believe, and I even non-conservative scholars would agree that the books of the Bible that we have, Genesis through Malachi in the Old, 39 Old, 27 New, Matthew through Revelation, they are the books that God inspired. So I would say be careful because there are what are called extra-biblical writings that were never recognized as really being Scripture. And sometimes you'll see an ad for the so-called lost books of the Bible. But let me talk a little bit about how the early church, they were looking for this. And by the way, the Old Testament canon has really never been seriously questioned. The Jewish people were so meticulous about the preservation of the writings of God. But for the New Testament, the church, they wanted to know, was it written by an apostle, one who saw the Lord? Did it have content harmonious with the rest of Scripture? Did it have the power of God upon it? And did it exhibit the affirmation of the church leaders? There were what were called the post-apostolic fathers, those that came after. I think about Chrysostom, who knew the Apostle John. And so not only are there no, quote, lost books of the Bible or, quote, other scriptures, but even some of the early church writings within the first 200 years of the church, they would warn Christians, you know, watch out for this, you know, don't accept this because it's not normative or it's not really the Word of God. So we have the canon. There are writings that are of what I would call a historical curiosity. Read them to maybe know about it, but be very careful. The Bible you have is the Bible God gave. And be careful about potentially being misled by other things, historical or present, that aren't Scripture.
All right. Great question, Dusty. Thanks for your call this afternoon. And we're going to try Jason again now from Illinois. Jason?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me good?
Yes, sir, we can. How's it going?
Good. My question is, I would think, fairly simple, but I guess at times I find it hard to how to answer it. Sometimes when talking to people, I'll get confronted with the question of, you know, how do you reconcile the difference in nature between God and the Old Testament and the New Testament, meaning, you know, God, which I thought it was relatively simple, but I guess explaining it is a little harder. the Old Testament, how God is kind of directing the Israelites to kill women and children, kill animals, kill this group of people, kill this group of people.
All right. Hey, Jason, let us weigh in on that, because it's going to be one of the things. We talk about dispensations and how there are different dispensations, but we also want to take and look at that in light of the law and grace, which is, again, a dispensational breakdown. And that's just a fancy word for meaning how times were. And so, and I'm going to let Bert jump in and Alex as well, but I just wanted to tell you that the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. The main difference in that is that in the New Testament, he looks at us through the eyes of his Son and through the grace of the gift that was bestowed at Calvary. And that's why I would dare say, we talked about this the other day too, guys, that from time to time, God may take us out to prevent us from doing something worse or to prevent us from bringing shame to his name. Those things are possible. But by and large, the grace of God persists because of the price that his Son paid. And we know that there's coming a day when we're going to see that God of wrath and we're going to see that God of judgment. And, you know, we don't want to be on that side. We want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," rather than, "Depart from me. Amen. I never knew you."
Sin and redemption are amazing. When you look at the Old Testament and you see those things happening that we look at as severe, and they are severe, dealing with those nations that were contrary to God, they had ample opportunity. Let me give you one example, and I'll throw it over to Alex. When the children of Israel were coming into the Promised Land, and they sent the two spies in, and Rahab was there. Rahab said, "We have heard of you. We've heard of what God has done." And she repented and got right. And they said, "Now I want to tell you, bring everybody you can under your roof, and you're going to be safe." That is grace right there.
Right.
And Rahab was not the only one that heard. Everybody else had heard about the God of the Israelites, and they could have. But judgment came because they did not respond. And so when we see here that what they call the killing of all those that are innocent, not so quick. And so it is the same God, and it's preparing Jesus so that they could have a place and a people there to bring the Messiah, the Redeemer, into the world. Alex, take it away, brother.
Well, you know, there are things in the Old Testament where God raised up the nation of Israel, and as they were moving into their Promised Land, you know, you had the people of the land, the Gentile nations, that Israel was to subdue and drive out. So here's the bottom line. Listen very carefully. I want to throw a word out here, and the word is morally sufficient. God had a morally sufficient reason for the wars recorded in the Old Testament. Let me explain. What's worse, for a few thousand pagans to die who had over 400 years to have opportunity to repent and turn to the true God, or for the entire human race to not have a Savior? And so, as hard as it is for our mind to understand the killing of the Philistines and the Canaanites and the Amorites, the greater good would be that humanity, 40 billion humans over the course of 6,000 years, would have a Savior. And so God had a morally sufficient reason for having Israel do what they did. But the other thing, really, while we can give a plausible justification of God's work in the Old Testament, in reality, we don't have to. God is the giver of life, and it is his prerogative when that life is called in. And you know, even if we live, if we're conceived and live but a moment, life is a gift. That's one of the reasons that we are very passionately pro-life, is because we realize that human life is sacred in every context, and it is a gift from God. And God so loved the world, not only that he gave us life, but through his Son Jesus gave us the opportunity for eternal life. And so we read his work and this great redemptive plan that he's given to history and the human race. We praise him for it.
Amen. Good stuff. Jamie calling from North Carolina this afternoon. Jamie, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Dr. Alex, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir.
I'm calling from a very familiar place, Fayetteville,
North Carolina. Oh, Cumberland County, Fort Bragg, Fayetteville. We love it down there.
Absolutely, right out of Hope Mills. But
yes, sir.
Absolutely. I want to first thank you for your service in our Lord's Army. You're truly a blessing, Dr. Bert. You too, sir. But I want to ask you about the rapture. I had a rapture question for you.
Okay. All right.
Do you believe, it's sort of a two-parter, do you believe that our earth right now is what I call earth ready for the rapture? Do you believe that if the Lord deems fit for the rapture to occur this very day, that everything is in place?
All right.
And secondly, do you believe that all the biblical prophecies will start to occur directly after the rapture, or is there a timetable?
All right, Jamie, that's a great question. And a lot of times we choose to talk about the things that unite us rather than the things that divide us. And so part two of that is it could be a more divisive answer. But I want to turn that question around for you just a little. And I mean this with no disrespect whatsoever. But is your family rapture ready?
Wow.
You know, and is my family rapture ready? Because Bert and I were talking about this just the other day, and Alex, if you lived here, we'd have these chats too. But and then Todd Friel was in with us yesterday,
yeah.
And I had this chat with him. I'm one of those odd people. I don't, you know, we generally talk about that we're praying, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Or, you know, my heart, I'm praying that the Lord withhold His judgment for a little while longer. I want to see my family come back to the Lord.
Amen.
I want to see my kids work out things right. And so, Jamie, I understand what you're asking as far as the earth ready for the rapture? Has everything lined up perfectly for the Lord to return? You know what? He was the God of creation. He'll be the God of judgment. He'll be the God of salvation, and He'll be the God who has forgiven us because He's provided His Son.
Amen,
for those that know Him. And so I want to just lay that out there for you. More so than all the prophecies being lined up, I would be more concerned with my family being lined up.
I want to say one thing, and I'll turn it over to you, Alex. I preach it, and I believe it. When Jesus left and said, I'm coming back, Paul thought he was coming back in his lifetime.
Right.
There is absolutely nothing that has to take place.
Amen.
For Jesus to come back and gather His loved ones unto Himself. There's nothing that we're waiting on that.
Right.
After that, there are some things that's going to happen. But I'm telling you, they were ready in that day, weren't they, Alex?
They really were. And I just applaud what Jim said. Because, you know, Titus 2 says that it is, quote, the blessed hope, the great glorious appearing of our God and Savior. The rapture is a comfort, but it's a motivator. But as far as what needs to happen, I mean, some of the precursors to the end that Matthew 24, the growth of the Christian church, this gospel will be preached in all the world and then the end will come. Increase in evil, you know, before the end of time, iniquity will abound, Matthew 24:12. False prophets, the land of Israel, conflict in the Middle East. We're near the end, but like Jim so well said, our job is to help folks get ready.
Amen. Thanks, Alex. All right, folks, this is Exploring the Word, 888-589-8840, and we look forward to taking your questions next on AFR.
For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Look briefly at one of your fingers. You've just witnessed one of the greatest displays of God's creative intent there is. No other person in all the world, even an identical twin, shares your fingerprint. God specifically designed each of us to be unique. That means we shouldn't try to carbon copy anyone else in the Christian faith. If God made you an arm in His body or a kneecap, praise be to our glorious God for drawing us to become a part of His body. How freeing it is to realize that we were never meant to copy anyone but Jesus.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. You wish things could be different, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
As a parent, it can be easy to get kind of stuck in a rut. On the next Focus on the Family, youth pastor Doug Fields will help you improve your parenting style, explaining why your kids need genuine affection, delicate discipline, and some serious fun. Find out how to be a better mom or dad next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
On display at the Smithsonian, the world's largest museum, is a quilt known as the Bible Quilt. It was made by Harriet Powers, an African-American farm woman from Clark County, Georgia, and first exhibited at the Athens Cotton Fair in 1886, an artistically created quilt admired over the decades of its history.
Harriet Powers, born a slave and thought by many to be an illiterate woman, was in fact quite literate.
In a discovered letter she'd written, she tells of learning to read with the help of the family's children. She continued to read and study on her own, resulting in the exquisite quilt blocks she created, depicting 15 major scenes from the Bible, taken from her own study of the Bible.
Engage with the Bible. Discover in the story surrounding it, its many layers.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
You're listening to Exploring the Word.
Hope that lifts me from despair. Love that casts out every fear. As I stand on every promise of your word.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
And that is exactly what we hope to do here on Exploring the Word, that we do look at His Word and that we do examine it thoroughly, and that we examine it through the light and lens of the Holy Spirit, and because of His comfort in our life, that would be how we see that. We welcome you folks back this afternoon as well. Want to take and get right back to the phones, as this is Fire Away Friday. We're going to talk to Monica calling from Ohio. Hi, Monica.
Hi.
Go ahead,
Are
Monica.
You
able to hear me? Yeah, you're on. Go right ahead.
Okay, I was calling because I have problems dealing with my mom, and I have a problem, I want to ask about honoring parents. My father, he actually turned away from me at birth. I don't know him. So, I don't know how to go about honoring that parent. And as far as my mother is concerned, she is, like, still filled up full of hate. And she exposed so much violence in the family. I don't
know. All right, know. Hey, Monica, you're kind of breaking up, but I think we get the gist of your question.
Monica.
And first, let me say, we do want to pray for you. But
yes, we do. And we will.
Yeah.
Monica, let me just share with you. I deal and I have dealt with more people with those issues than I've ever wanted to deal with. Mm. It is difficult and it's hard. Honoring is different than obeying. Obeying is when you're at home and when you're honoring them as you become adults, you honor their position. When you can honor their character and you can honor, you honor their position and you do your best. It doesn't mean you do everything they desire for you to do, but it means that you do your best. Let me just share with you, a pleasant word spoken fitly can help when they're filled with anger. Try to stay away from those fire points, those trigger points, and pray and love her as best you can. When you have a father that walked away, I think it's filled, and I'm going to do an Alex here. Alex, a lot of times he says, this is what you don't do.
Right.
You know, and you don't hold bitterness. You don't do that. You don't go there. Alex, go ahead and help Monica, and then we'll pray for her.
Well, and, you know, I know it's hard sometimes to honor or, you know, it really means revere or prize or value. Exodus 20 verse 12 says, honor your father and mother that your days may be long on the land the Lord gives you. And, you know, Solomon in Proverbs 30 verse 17 gives a very stern warning against mocking your parents. Let me say this. I think that we love our parents when we pray for them. We try to show Christ to them. We don't return evil for evil. And understand loving and you don't exact revenge, even if maybe you were mistreated or something like that. By loving and forgiving, and really not only just forgiving, but investing in another person, it doesn't mean that we're endorsing everything they ever said or did. Mm. Doesn't mean that we're giving them a pass. But let me just say, as a guy that all three of us have pastored churches, and we not family issues, you know, look, all of our families, we got more baggage than Samsonite. You know, but here's the thing. In the families where we do forgive and we love, people are always glad of it. Bert and Jim, I've never had anybody that burned a bridge and later said, boy, I sure am glad I did that. Let Jesus work through you to forgive and to love them sacrificially, even as Christ loved us. In the long run, I promise you, you'll be glad you did. Mm-hmm. And for people listening with parent issues and sibling issues, whatever your issue might be, and maybe you've got some wounds that are kind of deep, love them like Jesus loves all of us sinners. And I promise down the road, you'll be glad you did. It will bear fruit, won't it, guys?
Amen.
Sure will. Bert, pray for us.
Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would help Monica. I think all three of us could feel the difficulty and pain in her voice. Even though the signal was broken, Father, we could sense that. I pray that you would use her in such a way beyond measure that Jesus would be seen in Monica's life, that Monica would return good even for evil. And Father, that she would just benefit from your ministry to her, and that she could minister to her mom through you, Father, as you use her and to bless her mom. And I just pray you'd give her what she needs. Give her wisdom. Let her know when to what to say and when to say it, and sometimes when to pull away and put some distance between her and her mom. And I pray for her dad, wherever or whatever it might be, God, that you would do a work we may not know, but you know. And I pray you'd do your work in his life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I apologize for the phone there. I have my family so that it rings through regardless if I'm in a meeting or if I have it on silent. And so that's actually my daughter that's in Lafayette.
Oh, man.
And they were telling, they live in a mobile home park there, and they were telling them that they needed to plan to evacuate. And she said, I have seven animals. I'm not sure where we're going. So anyway, we will be praying for the folks there in Louisiana and New Orleans. You know, those new levees are going to be tested. All right. Well, Bert, you're waiting for this question.
I am.
So we're going to take it. Kevin, calling from Arkansas, welcome to Exploring the Word.
You broke up there. Is this Kevin from Arkansas?
Well, I'm hoping you're Kevin from Arkansas. I'm Jim from Tupelo.
I am.
Go, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, I'll try and put this as a question, but it's not really a question. The role of women in the church. I'm doing a study on the Holy Spirit, and I noticed the virtues or the jobs of the Holy Spirit. And if men are supposed to emulate Christ, are women supposed to emulate the Holy Spirit?
Let me just share with you, Kevin, that men is you know, when we were in English, we're living in a politically correct world now, but when it was masculine, many times masculine would take care of men and women, if right. you remember that. That was proper when I was in school. And men and women are to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, who is able to come alongside us to separate that Jesus and the women like the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that would be good theology. I don't believe it would be appropriate. Alex would, I mean, real quickly, we got people, but we're to emulate, we're to be like Christ.
Well, yeah, and I don't think you have to compartmentalize it out like that.
I
that
agree.
We, you know, I think we are to increase in godliness, and sure, let the Holy Spirit control us and fill us and guide us. But I think this is different, by the way, than the structure of the church. But the call to Christ-likeness and submission to the Holy Spirit—that's uniform for men and women. I would say.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin.
I would agree with that. All right, we're going to talk to Nancy now, calling from Arkansas. Nancy, good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, thank you. I enjoy you guys' show. I really do.
Well, thank you.
I have a question about King James. Who is King James? Was he gay, or and why was the Bible named after him? And was that the first Bible?
All right. No, it wasn't the first Bible. The King James Version was named after him because he actually commissioned to pay for the translations for the priest and different things. So what, you know, as far as King James as a person, he was a sinner who needed salvation just like we do today. You were asking if he were gay. He had some very lurid lifestyles, if you would. And I think that in modern terms, we would consider him more of a bisexual than a homosexual in that instance, because he was an adulterer, he was a drunkard, he was many, many things. But he, bottom line was, he was a sinner that needed to be saved, as we all are. And Bert, I know that you or Alex one will want to take and talk about the historical part. And if you don't mind, I'm going to let Alex do that.
Yes.
Well, hey, by the way, thanks for listening. And a great question. I don't recall that we had ever had this question before. You know, there's an old saying that God can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. And King James, as Jim said, he was a king of England. And after the Reformation in 1517, you know, throughout Europe, Luther and Zwingli and others preached the gospel, and a great revival spread throughout Europe. And one of the Bibles that was circulated was called the Geneva Bible. And the Geneva Bible had study notes, like a study Bible, and it had a lot to say about evil kings. And part of the reason that King James of England commissioned a translation which God marvelously used was because he wanted a Bible to be used more than the Geneva Bible. He didn't like the Geneva Bible. And so while his life certainly was not exemplary and his motives might not have been the best, God in his sovereignty, by 1611, out came a translation that is famously accurate, worldwide recognized and used, and for really over 400 years has been, you know, the Bible of the English-speaking world. So King James was a sinner, like I think about people like Nebuchadnezzar and, mm-hmm. you know, different ones God worked through to accomplish his purposes, and we are the beneficiaries of that.
Thank you Absolutely. For that question, Nancy. I was intrigued by it. We get a little bit of a snippet of your question, and we have never had
no,
that question
No, we hadn't, and we were intrigued by it. And it is one of those things, you know, when you look at the King James. Now, when you look at the King James of 1611 and the King James of 2019, I think you're going to find that it's a little bit easier to carry.
Sure.
So,
I want to say thanks for her calling, and we give you an A for the day.
That's right. That's right. If we had t-shirts like Trivia Friday, we'd send her one.
We might need to develop a budget.
Oh, no, see, don't. Hey, we'll take it.
Go ahead, get us out of this, Jim.
I was going to say, now I'm going to get in trouble with my boss. All right, let's talk to Ryan calling from Arkansas. Ryan, good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word. Hi, Ryan.
Hello.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Well, I just had a question about Isaiah 6 when it says that, can you hear me?
Yes, you're good.
Okay. When it's talking about the angel that brings the flaming coal to Isaiah's lips, it says that his sins are atoned for. And in Hebrews, I'm driving right now, so I can't look up the passage, but it says that without blood, there is no atonement. So I was just wondering where Isaiah's atonement comes from. Is it just his, you know, realizing his position? And, I mean, just maybe get some of your thoughts about that.
Okay, let me read that first from Isaiah and its whole thing, but I'll just read verse 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And notice what he touched. He touched his mouth.
Right.
We're not talking about redemption for as a life. We're talking about a message. Alex, take it away.
I'm so glad you said that's exactly what I was going to say. And one of the key words there, see. In other words, remember. And it wasn't, I would say this because Habakkuk is clear that we are justified in the sight of God through faith. Faith in who he is and what he did. So that touching of the coal to the lips was not what provided the atonement, but it was a reminder, your sins have been atoned for, and yes, you are. We're all sinners. You're a man of unclean lips, verse 5, but you can stand before the king because you have been justified in his sight. And I would argue it wasn't the coal that did that, but the coal was a reminder of the justified state that already existed.
Well, and to take it one step further, when you think about the flaming coal and touching his mouth, there was the cauterization of the wound. So there would have been blood present. I don't want to go too far off in the weeds there. But Alex, like you said, it's one of those things that it wasn't the coal. It was the person who provided the coal. And that's the only way that we can find that atonement, even in Christ. Christ provided the atonement so that we have the hope of life everlasting.
All about Jesus.
It is. And and we've said this before, anytime it's Jesus and, you're messing up. Allison from Virginia, good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi. I just wanted to encourage the lady who called in about honoring her parents. Growing up, my dad, he had a very explosive personality. Care of us and loved us, but never knew when he was going to blow up about anything. So it alienated my brother. At any rate, somewhere along the line, I got saved, and shortly thereafter, God and I had an argument about whether or not I should forgive my dad. And so I did forgive him. And later on down the line, he got cancer.
Well, Allison, praise the Lord. Your call was well received, and I believe with all my heart, it did bless and minister many. Jim, thank you, brother.
It's my pleasure. I apologize. Everybody's a little concerned about my daughter.
Well, I would be too. Alex, we're going to start Luke on Monday. You ready for that, brother?
The Gospel of Luke. Folks, be ready and join us.
We are. And Jim, again, we praise God, and we want you to keep praying for the people in Louisiana on the coast.
Amen.
Your daughter
is
a part of that.
Rest of you, stick around. We've got more on American Family Radio straight ahead.